Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Sunday nights we've been going through this series, and we're gonna do this morning. And we've titled this series "We Believe," and we're looking through Hebrews chapter 11. It's been titled "The Hall of Faith," and it talks about all these individuals, men and women from the Old Testament, and the faith that they had. And we're studying them to see what they believed and then how they lived based on what they believed. And we're trying to walk in the same faith that they had. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, we're going to look at a man named Enoch this morning. So Hebrews 11, we're going to read verse 5 and 6. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you that we have the word of God, and we ask that you would help this time to be profitable for us. We pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. On Friday, I had the elementary students at Baptist Bible Academy I had them write an answer to a question that I gave them. So on a piece of paper, I gave them the question. I said, if you could have anything you wanted, what would you get? If you could have anything in the world, what would you get? And some of them said, well, are you wanting spiritual answers? I thought, that's very, very good of them to think of that. You know, and I said, no, it doesn't have to be spiritual answers, just anything, you know, anything you could, whatever in the world. And so here's some of their answers. It's not all of them. There's like 40 kids in elementary who take all service to probably go through them all. But also, I had them do it anonymously, so the names are withheld to protect the guilty. I don't want to call them guilty, but you know what I mean. All right, this one said, I want an iPhone 13, which I thought was interesting because the newest model is the 14. So they're like, that's too much. I'll take the 13. This one said, wisdom for tests. I thought that was a good one. Wisdom for tests. Lots of money. To be very, 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 very rich. This individual wanted an M1 Abrams tank with a crew. I was like, yeah, they're really specific. This person wanted a giant fluffy dog that would lay and sleep with me. I thought, oh, that person needs a dog. It doesn't have a name on it, but I need to go talk to their parents. This person said, no school. They wanted, yeah, no school. This person said, $1 million so I can buy a horse. That's what they want. This person said, a mint condition of the first coin made. Wow, they're really thinking there. This person wrote a 1 with 24 zeros and then dollars. I don't know how much that is, but it's a lot. This person says, for me to get all the art supplies in the world, all the art supplies, every single one. So all of you who have art supplies at home, they now belong to this person. Teleportation powers. They want to be a superhero. I like this one. Unlimited firepower. So I don't know what they've got planned with unlimited firepower, but man, like, you think about that, anything in the world that you want. And I was thinking, what would us as adults, you know, we're more mature, right? If we had to answer that question, what would we, you know, anything in the world, anything that we could want, that we would have. Yeah, but yeah, like, we could probably have some list of things, items that we want or achievements that we want to gain in our life. We would have our things that we want. But what about if we thought of that spiritually, right? I told the kids it didn't have to be a spiritual answer, but what if we were to put a spiritual answer in there? I was thinking about Enoch, studying the life of Enoch and just the little bit that it says about him. What's interesting, I like Hebrews 11 and verse 5. It starts off, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It says God had translated him. And when we take that and we compare that to the rest of Enoch's life, I think we found that one day Enoch got what he wanted most. He got exactly what he wanted most in his translation, right? Where he was taken from earth and taken straight to heaven. He did not see death. It's a fitting end to his life. It's the perfect reward for the life that Enoch lived. Enoch lived 365 years. This was before the flood. So it was after creation, before the flood. The world was different. People lived a lot longer in those days. After the flood, that kind of changed, and we see their lifespans go down to what we know today. But before that time, they lived a long time. He lived 365 years, and we are not, for 365 years, the Bible does not give us a lot about Enoch's life, all the things that he did. It really gives us three descriptions of that life. 365 years, and the Bible gives us three descriptions. It says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22 and then in verse 24 that he walked with God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 that we read said he pleased God. He walked with God, he pleased God. And then in verse 6, because I think this is a follow-up and an explanation on Enoch's life, because it says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I think that's how Enoch lived his life. So he walked with God, he pleased God, and he sought for God. And if we kind of take those and maybe put those in order, I think we could say that seeking God was his plan, walking with God was how we accomplished that plan, and the fact that he pleased God was the result of how he lived his life. But the Bible says all of that was done by faith. But the short description that we're given of Enoch's life, and I think we can read, you know, that he lived 365 years and he walked with God, he sought God, and he pleased God, and we say, well, that quick and easy. You know, that sounds pretty simple and pretty easy to do. You know, it'd be like you come down to the end of your career, you know, and you worked at the same place for 20 years or 30 years, whatever, and they, you know, that's your last day of work, and the boss stands up and said, yeah, he did good work. He worked for 20 years, consistent, good guy, and that's it. And you go, really? Like, kind of glosses over all that you did, right? And many times that would gloss over how difficult work was, right? And it glosses over those 4 years where you had that other boss who didn't know what he was doing but thought he did and made your life really difficult. It glosses over all those days where you didn't want to come to work, but you did. And just how difficult it was and the time where they changed everything and you had to retrain and it was frustrating. And you get down to the end and he's like, yeah, you did good work. You were here for X amount of years. Here's a plaque and off you go, you know. And I feel like we can look at Enoch's life and say, yeah, he did good. You know, he sought for God and he walked with God and he pleased God. And we can gloss over how difficult that can be. But I think we understand, don't we? When we try and do those things that it's a fight day by day, and it's work, and it's labor, and it's difficult to do that. We don't see all the work that went into Enoch's walk with God, but I think what he did more than anybody else at that time, and I think we see that in how God rewarded him and just Enoch in that time. God was so pleased with Enoch, how he sought the Lord and walked with God, and that he pleased God. God was so pleased with Enoch that he gave Enoch exactly what he wanted most. What Enoch wanted most wasn't heaven. It wasn't that he would be able to leave earth and go to heaven, though I'm sure Enoch wanted that. You know what Enoch wanted most? He wanted God, most of all. That's why he sought for God. That's why he walked with God. And when God translated Enoch, and Enoch left this earth and was transported to heaven, God gave him that walk with God, that close walk with God that Enoch was trying to have all during his life, that he was seeking after God, to know God, to walk with God. And God was so pleased with Enoch's pursuit after God that he said, you know what, I'm going to give you what you want most. And he took him into the presence of God for all eternity. I want you to turn to hymn number 303. We're not going to sing it, but I was studying and the title of this song popped into my head, and I had seen this. We've never sung this song. It's hymn number 303. And I don't know that I had read the song before, but for some reason I remembered the title. Hymn number 303. The title of the song is My Goal is God Himself. And I'm going to read the whole the whole hymn because it's good. Verse 1, my goal is God himself, not joy, nor peace, nor even blessing, but himself, my God. 'Tis his to lead me there, not mine, but his, at any cost, dear Lord, by any road. So faith bounds forward to its goal in God, and love can trust her Lord to lead her there. Upheld by him, my soul is following hard, till God hath answered full my deepest prayer. No matter if the way be sometimes dark, no matter though the cost be oftentimes great, he knoweth how I best shall reach the mark. The way that leads to him must needs be straight. One thing I know, I cannot say him nay. One thing I do, I press on to my Lord. My God, my glory here from day to day, and in the glory there my great reward. I love the thought of that psalm. That song, my goal is God himself. And it says, my goal's not these other blessings like joy and peace and all the blessings that God gives. Yes, those are wonderful. And let me tell you, we enjoy those, don't we? You enjoy those days where you have joy and peace and all of that. But isn't it easy for us to elevate those above God and say, that's what I really want, when God says, no, what you really want is me, the one who gives those. You want the one that blesses, not just the blessings. And how can we be like Enoch, right? That's what we want to find out. When we read Hebrews 11 and verse 5 and 6, and then in Genesis chapter 5, that's the question. How can we be like Enoch? And there's two steps. The first step is this. Like Enoch, we have to believe that God is worth seeking. That God is worth seeking. We have to believe that God is worth seeking. That's what it tells us in verse 6. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Teddy Roosevelt said, nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, and difficulty. Seeking God is not necessarily painful in the sense that I think maybe he was talking about, but it is difficult and it does take effort. It is a labor to seek for Jesus Christ. But that's the work for every single Christian. That's the work that we've been given, is to seek and to find Jesus Christ. And it starts with believing. He that cometh to God, that seeks God and that finds God, must believe that he is. It starts with that. It starts with having a faith that's been informed by Scripture. And we've talked about that before, that our faith isn't a blind faith. It's a faith where we read the Word of God and say, that's true and I believe that. I believe that God is who he says he is, that God will do what he has said he will do. I believe the word of God. I don't believe what I think or what I feel. I believe God's word. And it starts with that faith, the faith for salvation, a faith that understands that we are sinners, but God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. A faith that trusts in Jesus Christ alone to save us from our sin. Faith that believes that God is, but also a faith that believes that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's a faith that starts at salvation, but then a faith that continues to seek for God. A faith that continues to pursue after and desire to really know God. Psalm 27 and verse 8 says, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I think a trap that I know I sometimes fall into, and probably other people do as well, is that when I go to Scripture, I go with the attitude of making it all about me, making my Bible reading and what I read in Scripture all about me, about what will help me to be happier or more prosperous or have what I want to have in my life. Or I make Scripture all about what I should be doing or what I should not be doing. And I just have this, I can have this selfish approach to Scripture where I make everything I read about me and my life and who I am and what I'm doing and how it's going to help me and make me better. And it's all about I and me when I read Scripture so many times. And yet, if we do that, we're missing out, because God gave us Scripture, yes, to help us and yes, to improve us. But first and foremost, and the way we do that is by when we see God. That needs to be our attitude when we go to Scripture. First and foremost is saying, what does this tell me about God? That's who I'm seeking in Scripture. I'm seeking the God of the Bible, the God of joy, the God of peace, the God of holiness, the God of edification, the God who is going to work in my life. But I'm seeking all those things through God, the one who is going to do all that for me. The right approach is, what will the Bible tell me about God? That needs to be our attitude, where we seek God in the Word of God. And we sometimes skip that step and we go right to, how is this going to help me and work things in my life, and how is this going to change me? But the path to that, the path to blessing, the path to change, the path to growth goes through God. And it goes through us seeing God and knowing God. And it's as we get close to God, because we're seeking Him in the Word of God, that God does all of those things. It's not when we cut God out of the picture and go, let's get right to the results. Let's get right to, like, me changing. It's us going, I want to know God. I want to be close to God. And when we pursue that, when we seek God, when we diligently seek God, God says, I'm going to take care of all that. I'll change you. I'll work in your life. You will be blessed. You will be rewarded. But it's a reward that happens as we seek God. And if we seek the reward but not God, we're not going to get the reward that we want. So it's seeking for God. He is a reward of them that diligently seek Him. This seeking God, it's a theological work. It's a doctrinal work. Proverbs 25 and verse 2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. It's honorable to search out a matter, to search out God and to seek for God in His Word. Those of you who hunt for deer, you know it's important to have an understanding about deer and kind of how they live. I don't hunt. I don't know much about deer. But I know hunters, if I were to just walk out there, I would just pick a spot and go, I don't know. This looks comfortable. You know, that's what I would. But people who know about deer and are really trying to hunt for deer, they're like, well, this is where the deer walk. This is where they travel. This is where they like to bed down. If I'm here, they're going to smell me right away. But if I move over there, then the way the wind shifts and all of that, that'd be a better spot to hunt for deer. And camouflage and smelling like deer and all of those sorts of things that they know to do, they have this understanding of the animal as they're trying to pursue after that. And that's when they're good at catching what they're after, is when they have that sense of understanding. I think it would do us well to approach the Word of God with the real purpose of, I want to understand God and seek after God. I want to draw closer to God. And so we approach the Word of God saying, okay, what does this tell me about God? How can I know more about God from what I just read, from this passage? What does this passage tell me about God? And asking that question before we jump straight to application, before we jump straight to, okay, what does this mean for me? We need to go right to the goal that we're after and saying, what does this tell me about God? Really studying the Word of God, recognizing the attributes, the nature of God, the work of God, and all that it says about God in the Word of God, and considering then God before we jump straight to considering ourselves. And through that understanding of God, the more we know about God, the more we understand about God, our relationship is going to get deeper. It's going to get closer. We'll get more familiar with God. That's what we're looking for. We're seeking to know about God so that we would know God more. Salvation takes us from not having a relationship with God to having a relationship with God. Seeking God then takes us closer and deeper and a more intimate and personal relationship with God. It takes us into fellowship with God. Genesis chapter 5. It gives us the, well, let's turn back there. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22 is the short account of Enoch in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. It says the same thing of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, that Noah walked with God. The Bible tells us that God's desire for Israel was that they would walk with him. Micah 6 and verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. But I want to take that phrase, all right, seeking God and then walking God. We take that phrase, walking with God, and I want to compare that with another phrase that's used in Scripture, which is the phrase, walking in his commandments. Or it says walking in his laws, walking in his ways, but that idea, walking with God compared to walking in his commandments. Both of those are right. Both of those are commanded and desired by God. You walk with God and you walk in his commandments. But they're different things. Walking with God is different from walking in his commandments. And God wants both of those to be a part of our life. But sometimes we do the second one. We walk in his commandments, we walk in his laws, we are obedient, and we think that's good enough. If I just obey, if I just serve, if I do the things I know I'm supposed to do, that's enough. It satisfies our sense of responsibility, our sense of duty. It looks good in front of other people, and we can do that. We can walk in his commandments. We can do it with the wrong approach, right? It's just a ritual. It's just for other people. But we can also do it with a pure heart and with the right attitude and with the right motives that we want to show God how much we love him. We love God, so we do what's right, and we serve him. We walk in his commandments, and God says, I want you to do that. I want you to obey me. I want you to do what's right. I want you to do it with the right attitude. But we can do that and think that's enough, that that's all this Christian life is just the obedience, the don't do this and do that, the keep his commandments and obey God. And God says that's part of it, but I want you to also walk with me, not just in my commandments, but also I want you to walk with me. I want you to know me. God says, I want to have a relationship with you that's not just what are you going to do for God, but also living with God, walking with God, having that sort of relationship. God wants you to seek him and walk with him and also obey him. But God wants both of those to be a part. We can't just say, it's enough for me to just obey God and do all the things and check off the boxes and do all of that with a good attitude, the right heart, the right motives, the right desires, but not truly walk with God. Also, seeking God isn't just getting things from God. It's wanting God himself. God loves to bless his children. God delights in blessing his children. And so God says, call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God says, bring all your requests before me. Bring those to me, your supplications. Bring those to me so I can answer them. God says, I want you to call upon me and ask me to do things for you. And that's faith, isn't it? With us saying, I'm not going to do it by myself. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to bring all my requests before God. But that's not all the Christian life is. Just like all the Christian life is not just obedience, it's also walking with God. So all the Christian life is not just asking God for things, but it's seeking God himself. And I think one of the primary prayer requests that we should have is, Lord, let me know you more. Let me walk with you. That needs to be a prayer request that is high up on our list of priorities, saying, Lord, show yourself to me. Show me who you are. Let me walk closely with you. Let me know you more and more. Let me have a relationship with you that is better today than it was yesterday. Our prayer life shouldn't just be going to God for requests that meet needs in our life and in other people's lives. And I'm not saying that's not a part, because it is, and God tells us to make that a part of our life. Trust in God for those things. But the other prayer request we need to make sure we have is, Lord, let me walk with you. Let me know you more and more every single day. And like Enoch, we believe that the effort and the work we put into seeking for God will be worth it, that God rewards those that diligently seek him. We cling to that. We say that is what our life is all about. We are diligently seeking God, trusting that God will reward us, trusting that it is worth it for me to put in the effort and the work of really seeking God. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 were promised this: "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You know, the reward for walking with God is God himself, knowing God. That's the reward. The reward of seeking God and walking with God is that relationship that he gives to us. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29, "If from thence," the Lord told Israel, he said, "thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." That reward is something we can experience right now, personally. We look at Enoch and we see like that he was translated. What an amazing thing, right? That he was one day living on earth, fellowshipping with God, seeking God, walking with God, pleasing God, and then God took him home. And yes, that was a reward. And yes, that was God showing how pleased he was with how Enoch was living his life, that God said, come on home with me. Yes, but that was part of the reward, and I would say the greatest part of the reward, but that wasn't where the reward started. It started in the life that Enoch led because he sought God and he got to walk with God. Do we understand the reward that that is? Walking with God, the God who created us, the God who is greater than all. We can walk with God. We can fellowship with God. The reward isn't just in heaven. It's a reward that we can have right now. We sing the song, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." And what a life it is to just walk with God, to fellowship with God, to talk with God, to see God answer prayer. And because we sought God, to see him work in our life, what a reward that is for the believer that truly seeks after Jesus. There was the idea of, if you've heard of the idea of 6 degrees of separation, I think it first came out in a short story by a Hungarian author back in like the 1920s. But the idea of 6 degrees of separation is that there are 6 or fewer social connections between any 2 people in the world. So you can say, I know I have a friend who knows that person. I don't know if I did enough friends. I might have done too many, right? But that's the idea, right? A friend of a friend of a friend who knows that person. So how impressive would it be if we're not going to do it, but if I said, hey, let's do it. All right, let's see if we can figure this out. And I picked George, or I had somebody else do it. Somebody picked George W. Bush, right? And he said, let's see if we can find a connection between us, 6 degrees of separation between us and George W. Bush. And right away, I put my hand up and said, no, I know him. Yeah, I got him. He's on speed dial on my phone. And you're like, no way. So I like, yeah, I pressed, you know, he's number 2 because Erica's number 1. So I don't know. I pushed number 2 and sure enough, he answers. And he's like, hey, how you doing, Donnie? And I'm like, I'm doing great, George. You know, he's like, I finished my portrait of you or whatever, you know, he paints. You'd be like, wow, that's pretty impressive. You know, that he is able to right away call up George W. Bush and talk to him, that there are literally 0 degrees of separation between you and a former president of the United States. And as impressive as that would be, how much more impressive is it for us to have 0 degrees of separation between us and the Creator, between us and God, where we can simply talk to God, fall on our knees, or just throughout our day communicate with God, that there doesn't have to be that God is a friend of a friend of a friend of ours, but God is our friend. What a reward that is for knowing God, seeking God, that we can have a closer and closer relationship with God. We can know him better and better and be able to just simply walk with God. The reward for seeking God is walking with God. That's what God wants. That's why God said about Enoch, he said, I'm pleased with that. I am pleased with how he has lived his life. He has sought me. He has for years walked with me. God says, that's what I want. We believe what Enoch believed. Enoch believed that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and we hold on to that as Christians. We say, I believe that if I seek for God, he will reward me. We believe it's worth it to put in the effort and the work of truly seeking for God. So how can we be like Enoch? First step is believing like Enoch believed. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the second step, Because like Enoch, we have to believe, we have to live like we believe it. We have to live like we believe it. God has put a barrier for entry into a relationship with him. And I say the word barrier, but it's a more biblical term would be a door. Jesus said, I am the door. And in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to be saved. You have to come by faith through Jesus Christ, with knowing his blood was shed for you, believing in him as your Savior. And when you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, when you trust in him for salvation, you have a relationship with God. If you don't believe, the Bible says you're condemned already. But the Bible says those that believe are not condemned, but are saved. So in order to be saved, you have to believe. Those that believe are saved. Those that do not believe are not saved. There's a barrier for entry into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then when you trust in Jesus Christ, that is secured, right? God keeps it secure. You cannot lose that relationship. That will not change, not because you don't change or you may not change, but because God does not change. Jesus Christ holds our salvation secure in his hands. That will not change. But we come by faith, believing that he is, believing in Jesus Christ. But then I want to go to 1 John chapter 6. Note 1 John chapter 1. There aren't six chapters. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. Because, you know, there's also a barrier for entry into close fellowship, into fellowship with Jesus Christ. After we're saved, God wants us to fellowship with him. But there's a barrier into entry into fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. We'll start in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. God does not force his a relationship with him on anybody, and he doesn't force his fellowship on anybody. But God offers it to all. If you remember back in 2014 when Apple and Tim Cook announced or launched the iPhone 6, and they had that big, they do a big thing, right? And they get everybody, all like the reporters together, and they have a stage and all of that. And it's a big event, right? And so they were launching the iPhone 6, and so Tim Cook got up there with the other people there at Apple, and they announced it, that the iPhone 6 was coming out, and they do this whole presentation. It was like 2 hours long where they talk about all the stuff, right? The apps or the details and all the, all the stuff about the features about the new iPhone. Then they had a rock group come out and play, and then at the end of the song, Tim Cook made the announcement that they were giving everybody this group's new album, right? Everybody could have that. Then what they did was they just put it on everybody's phone, right? On everybody's Apple account or device, they just forced it on everybody. They're like, I don't care whether you like it or not. You have this. You think, whatever, right? This is now yours. And people were not happy with that. They're like, we don't want this. We don't want you to make us have this, right? And I think it would have been a lot different if they said, you can have it. You just have to, click this link and then you will have it. But they forced it on people. You know, God doesn't force himself on people. God offers. And God says, you can have a relationship with me. And the Bible talks about how nature is that like initial invitation that says there is a God. He is powerful. He is great. He is good. And nature gives them this insight that there is a God. And then they seek for that God and they find the message of the gospel that says you're a sinner, but God died on the cross for your sins. Jesus paid the price. So now if you trust in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And there is the offer of the gospel that goes out through us, through Christians, through the word of God. But it's an offer. God doesn't force it. And then we get saved and God says, okay, you can fellowship with me. You can talk with me. You can be close to me. You can have a close relationship with me. But it's an offer that God gives to us. God says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have that fellowship. God offers that to us. We have the opportunity to know God and to walk with God. But do we really live like we believe that? Like we can walk with God? If we believed, we would work to know God. I challenge you to go beyond just reading your Bible and actually study your Bible. Go beyond just reading a passage, but somehow studying the Word of God, whatever that might mean to you. It could be, you can do like a word study where you just pick one word in the Bible and say, I'm going to look up every instance of that and think about it and like outline it and define it from the Word of God. Do a word study. You can do a topical study where you pick a topic of the Bible. You go, okay, I'm going to read through my Bible and find this topic in the Word of God and see what God says. It can be an attribute of God, whatever. You can do a book study where you pick one book of the Bible and say, for this year, I'm just going to read this book of the Bible. I'm just going to read it over and over and over and study this till I really know this book of the Bible and what it says about God. There's so many ways to study the Word of God, but I challenge you to take the next step, to go beyond just reading the Bible, studying the Word of God with the intent of, I want to know God so that I can walk closer with God. But doing the work of really seeking God in the Word of God, because it's not an automatic process. It's not something that just happens on its own. It's something that we decide to do. And then we ask God to help us do this. And by faith, we trust God to enable us. We trust God for the work of His Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. But we study the Word of God. It just doesn't happen automatically. I've seen those automatic lawnmowers. Have you seen those? It's like a robot. It's like a Roomba for your lawn. You put it out there and it goes. And I'm like, that's nice. For those of us that don't have one of those, we know that mowing the lawn is not an automatic process. It's something we got to go out there and, you know, you either push it or, you know, you hop on the riding mower and you just got to do it. And that's what seeking God is. It doesn't just happen automatically. It's us saying, okay, this year, I'm going to seek God this year. You know, I don't know if it's too late for New Year's resolutions, but that could be one that you start now. That my resolution this year is I want to get to know God more. I'm going to study. I'm going to seek God this year. But if we believe, we're going to really work to study and to seek God. But also if we believe that it's worth it, not only will we seek God and study, but also we'll speak with God. Certainly asking for help and enabling. And I believe that I need Jesus is the heartbeat of Christianity. Man, that is our what we breathe and live. I need Jesus. I cannot do this. I cannot live this life on my own. I am a failure apart from Jesus Christ. Every day, I need Jesus. Over and over, that's the heartbeat. But when we talk about speaking to Jesus, it's not just requests, but it's also just communication, talking with God. I mean, my relationship with my wife would not be very good if all I did was ask her for things. It's a big part of my relationship, I'll be honest, but it's not all of it. Right? There has to be those other communication where we just talk, right? And we can have that same thing with God, where you just talk about your life. You talk about your day. You talk with Him about how it's gone and the disappointments that you've had, the successes, how it's been going. You can just communicate with God and get to know God that way. You can tell Him about how you feel, tell Him about your fears. You can praise Him. You can thank Him. But it's just a conversation that you have with God. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And this is what this is. It's not like a constant repetition of your prayer list, you know, like your request, but it's just talking with God about what's on your heart and what's on your mind, communicating with God over and over. And I think one of the things that makes that difficult is that there's so many other things that we can listen to in like all of life. Right? There's always like podcasts or audiobooks or the radio, and there's always these things, and it's like we've made it to the point where there's no like downtime or like no silence in our day where our mind can just go to God. We've always got something that's taking our attention, and we can just maybe silence a lot of that and say, I'm just going to talk to God. I'm just going to communicate with God in this silence, in this time. But that's important. If we really want to seek God, it's going to come when we speak with God, when we learn about God, when we speak with God. Walking with God is having those times of prayer. And if we truly believe it's worth it to seek God, we're going to pray like it is. So Enoch sought God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch pleased God, and God rewarded him. And we believe with Enoch that it's worth it. It is worth it to seek God. And so if we believe that, then we need to live like it's true. And I want to turn to one more passage, Philippians chapter 3, if you'll go there with me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. As we close, Philippians 3 and verse 8. Here's Paul's mindset, Paul's attitude. He said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Look what he says in verse 10. "That I may know him." Paul says, that's what I want. And he says, that's what I've given everything up for, is that I may win Christ, that I may know Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I read a quote in an article yesterday. It said that Olympic athletes aren't born, they're made. They achieve success through hard work, determination, healthy diet, good lifestyle habits, and a clear vision of what they want to achieve. And I was reading the story of a man named Eric Musambani. He was from Equatorial Guinea, and he was he was trying out for the Olympics. He was doing some of the, like, a qualifying race for it. He was a swimmer, and he was going to swim the 500-meter freestyle, the only man entering that race from his country. So he signed up to swim in the wild card match so that he could qualify for the Olympics from his country. So he signed up and he heard back from the Olympics that he was in. He could swim in this wild card race and maybe qualify for the Olympics. So he got word that he was going to swim and he said, okay, now it's time to learn. He didn't know how to swim. He had signed up without knowing how to swim, but he said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn how to swim. He had 8 months before this qualifying. And so he goes, okay, we're going to do this. And so he didn't have a pool. The only pool that he had nearby was a local hotel that had, like, the typical hotel pool. And they let him use it for 1 hour from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. And this man was dedicated. He got up and he went to that pool and he swam in the pool. He would also go to a nearby lake and swim in that lake. He didn't have a coach. He didn't have, like, an Olympic pool that was this long. But he just did. He taught himself how to swim, and he trained for this race. So he gets there for this qualifying race. He had to go to Sydney, Australia for his wild card match. He gets there, and he had, due to miscommunication, he thought he was going to do the 50 meter. He had signed up for the 100 meter, so twice as long as what he had trained for, which is kind of a big deal. So he was racing against two other guys in this match. The two other guys, they're on their starting block. They jump early, and they're disqualified. He's still standing there. And so the two are disqualified. He's the last one in his qualifying race. He's had to win. And so they restart it, and off he goes, all by himself. He's the only one. So he's going, and it took him almost 2 minutes. And, you know, they usually do it in, like, 50 seconds. Took him almost 2 minutes because he wasn't prepared to go that distance. And so he got done and he said this. He said, the first 50 meters were okay. But in the second 50 meters, I got a bit worried and I thought I wasn't going to make it. Some of the commentators are like, I think we might need to rescue him at one point. But he made it. He finished. He made it all the way to the end. And he qualified, right? He didn't end up making it to the Olympics because they had other stages of qualifying and his time was not good enough. But he won his race. He worked hard. And you think about that. All the training that so many of these athletes have, right? They have the best nutrition, trainers, all the tools. This man had nothing. But he said, I'm going to use what I have, and I am going to work hard. I may not have what everybody else has. I may not be who they are. but I've got what I've got, and I want to do this, so I'm going to put in everything I have to get to that goal. I thought, what a good attitude that would be for us as Christians. If we set that as our goal, I want to know God. My goal for 2023 and the rest of the years. But my goal as a Christian is, I want to really know God. I want to walk with God. I want to please God in this way. And we said, that's my goal. I may not have everything anybody else has, right? I may not have all the time that other people have. I may not have all the knowledge that people have and all the tools or whatever to study the Bible. I may not know Greek or Hebrew or whatever, but I have what I have. And I'm just going to work hard at this. And you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6? It says what we believe. We believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. And I want to ask us, where's the diligence in our seeking for God? I think all of us would say that we want to seek God. But God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Where's the diligence been in our life? Where's the effort in our pursuit of God and us wanting to know God? Where's the work been? Are we really putting in the effort that God wants us to have in our life? It's an honor of kings to search out this matter, to really seek for God and desire to know God. Where's the diligence? No excuses. There's all sorts of reasons we could come up with why it's hard or we don't have the time or whatever, but all those aside, it's just us working hard, where we're saying, like Paul said, I'm willing to count all things but loss. I'm willing to put all so many things behind me so that I can know Jesus Christ, to know Him. That's our goal. That's what we want. We believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we say, you know what? I believe that. I believe like Enoch believed. So then the question is, if we believe that, will we live like we believe? Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You first and foremost for our salvation, that You sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone here today that does not know You as their Savior, that they would make that decision to set aside all their attempts to be good or to work their way to heaven, and simply by faith trust in You to save them from their sins. Lord, for those of us that are saved, may we count all things but loss so that we may win Christ, that we may know You. Help us to be diligent in our searching for You. Lord, help us to study our Bible. Help us to pray, to just talk with You throughout our day. Lord, we pray that we would know You more and more every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.